Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hi, Maddie.
Hello, Nicholas.
Wow, you just got loud. Yeah, welcome to What the Fuck is Happening, the podcast. Really,
yes, thank you for having me.
Now, you told me to do this before we started, so...
Oh my god, get fucked. Why am I sitting so awkwardly now? How was I sitting before? That was so comfortable.
Are you a lizard human who doesn't actually know
how
to be a person?
It's giving Mark Zuckerberg.
I was going to say, it's giving Elon, it's giving Zuckerberg, it's giving Cage Match.
I was going to say, so are we going to bring up the Cage Match then?
Look, the world this week has gone to shit. Like, it's genuinely...
I feel like we probably should have talked about how we're going to approach this before we started recording.
Nah.
Because this week has been wild.
You've been wild.
That's true. I have been wilding about this week.
Go off. Okay. I don't know if we should review the movie. Not even review, just quickly chat about the movie we just saw. Now, right. Or if we should do it later. What's your vibe?
I mean, I'm not going to lie. I don't really feel like I have a lot to say about it.
Go off. Oh, wait. No, I have something else to do first.
Okay.
Entertain the audience.
Well, we probably should do that.
No, you entertain the audience.
Oh, right. Sorry. I thought that's what you wanted to do next. I didn't realize.
It was an instruction.
Okay. All right. Howdy. What's going on? Oh, my God. What the fuck is this?
Happy International Burger Day. 3 weeks late.
You're so funny. Wow. It's giving Silo.
Silo. Oh, the Pez.
Yeah, Thank you. Wow.
So Maddie's favorite thing in the world is burgers, specifically from Grilled, the Australian chain restaurant.
Yeah. Shocking that it's only Australian. It should be a worldwide conglomerate.
Simp. Not you. Me, who earlier in the day didn't want to go to Starbucks because I'd rather give my money to a local business. Maddie, shilling out for a conglomerate known as Grilled.
Actively wanting them to be bigger and more dominant.
Capitalism.
I am a little capitalist bitch.
For context for listeners, I got Maddie a burger Pez dispenser.
Yes, it's very cute. Bless. I'm trying to figure out whether or not I should... open it now.
Go off.
Candy made in the USA. Wow.
What?
Intriguing. I didn't realize they made anything in the USA anymore.
No, they do. They make conspiracy theorists.
So true.
Insurrectionists.
Poor decisions.
Such things as those.
Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome. How are you?
Oh my god, so much better now that I have a little burger Pez.
Good. How's your week been?
Oh yeah. You know, lots of things happening in the world.
Good chat.
Yeah. What about you?
Let's
how was your
up.
Week? Yeah, let's... Thank you very much for listening.
I don't know. My week's been fine. I don't know.
Good chat.
Yeah. Just, you know, existing.
Yeah, floating in the ether.
It's like, what else can you do?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I do. I mean, definitely the whole world for like 4 days... stopped.
So.
For reference, if you're listening to in the future,
it's the week of 26th of January 2023.
Yes.
No, wait, the week before that. It's a Monday.
Yeah.
25th. Let's start with your what the
January,
fuck of the
I think you mean June.
I did mean June. Just what's the what the fuck of the week?
Well, I did have one, but are we doing, is this our long discussion one? Is this? Are we going back to the new format?
Yes, we're doing our new format where you've got to pick a topic.
Okay, all right. Okay, I do have a topic, and it's that context is needed for everyone who isn't Nicholas.
Just say it.
I'm writing a book.
Ah.
Yeah, I know. Shocking. And I finished my first draft a week and a half-ish ago.
It's true. We celebrated by...
going to Grilled!
And me and Chelsea drinking and Maddie not drinking.
Yeah, and then he tried to force me into having a different burger, which I vehemently rejected and had the same burger as I always do.
Yeah, she's not good at change.
No, I'm not. Anyway.
Still not as bad as me, but we'll continue. You finished your book. It's very exciting.
Yeah, and so then my what the fuck this week is that I have now in the editing process, specifically, I'm actually trying to write the second draft because I knew that there would have to be some work done, specifically because I was like, oh, I changed a kind of a backstory about halfway through, and so mm-hmm. I knew I needed to go back for the first half and change it the first half to align, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, and so my what the fuck is really just kind of about how crazy that whole process of doing a second draft and going, because I haven't read any of it, right? Mm. I just wrote it all, and when I would stop for the day and then start the next day, I'd read, like, a few paragraphs that I'd written just to make sure I knew where I was up to and get the flow back.
Sure.
But I hadn't actually read back over the book, basically, at all.
As a whole, right?
Yeah. And so sitting down and now I'm honestly only about 6 chapters in because it's been a fucking slog to read back over it. Because for the first 3 chapters, I was like, this is the worst thing I've ever written in my life.
Oh my God.
I know. It was wild. And I got really freaked out because I was like, this is going to take a lot of time now to rewrite this whole thing. But then it's been fine because as I've eased into it, I've been able to tell. I can tell that where I'm up to now, I had much more of a grasp on the plot and the book and what mm-hmm. was going on. So while I do need to rewrite a little bit from the beginning, I don't think overall it's the worst thing I've ever written. There's just some
I think you're being melodramatic because it's not melodramatic, self-conscious.
I'm definitely being harsh because I want it to be really good, particularly for my debut, but like absolutely. There were a couple of chapters there where I was like, what the fuck is this? What was I thinking when I... Like, you can just tell that it's, like...
I mean, it also makes sense.
Forced in and bad pacing. I don't know.
It makes sense that the opening chapters would be the roughest, considering...
Yes.
You're getting the hang of it. You're getting an idea of it. It's very true. You know, all that.
It's really true.
So I feel like... chill.
I mean, I'm not, like... I'm definitely still pushing through. Like, I'm not, like, giving up and being like, I can't publish this or anything. Mm-hmm. But definitely, I think because my experience in the past has been writing fic, and usually when I get to patches in the fic where I'm like, oh, I don't really know about this, I'm also like, I'm not going to bother to rewrite it, though, because this is for free. I don't have time to go over something so intensely. Whereas now I'm like, ugh, effort has to be made to fix this.
Where, how are you doing it? Are you... just reading through and taking, like, very specific notes?
That's what I'm doing at the moment, because I hadn't read it all.
Yeah, because then by the time you get to, like, the very intricate stories and stuff, you can then refer back to the...
Yeah, right? Yeah, that's basically my plan, and I already actually have solved how I'm going to fix... Because the problem was, specifically, it was with the pacing.
Right.
It was just a weird... kind of tangent that happened early on that I was like, this actually, I can shorten these scenes and put something
started,
else in there.
Did it start in an awkward spot?
No, that actually the prologue is quite long and it's fine. It was like chapters 1, 2, and 3 where I think that I didn't, I think at that point I was still thinking I was writing a romance book, whereas the more I've written, the more I've realized that it's not just a romance book.
Mm-hmm.
And so now I'm like, okay, this was really forced because I was trying to get the pacing for the romance right instead of thinking of it as being like, I actually need to think of like the bigger plot that's going on here. So
that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. And honestly, it's not actually going to be that difficult to fix now that I've realized it's not the whole book that I need to rewrite. So
slay.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
Yeah, it is exciting. I mean,
stressful, but exciting.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been wild.
You're planning on making this a series, right? Like you've already started... quote-unquote started the sequel.
Yes, yeah.
Do you have, like, a long-term plan for the series? For, like, the narrative, the overarching narrative?
Yeah.
Overarching?
Yeah, no, I already know how the whole series ends.
Okay, so then, my question is, are you going and planting seeds in the earlier books?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, yes, definitely. Because, I mean, when I think... this was actually... Oh my God, I could talk about this for a really long time, so I'll try and like...
I'm just curious because you could, but you also, there's like no... you know, it's one of those things, like planting yeah. seeds in early books of a series. It's not necessary, but
no.
it's appreciated. Well, does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it does. I think it's not necessarily... I think it's less about planting seeds about, like, how the plot is going to end and more trying to plant the seeds of how the theme is going to end, if yeah. that makes sense. So, I mean, obviously it is the plot, but it's kind of like, okay, if I... Spoiler. No spoiler.
No spoiler.
the end is going to... It's going to end... The political world is going to be completely different and almost completely deconstructed at the end of the book
sure.
compared to how it was at the beginning, which means that I've kind of had to be like, okay, that means that the three different layers of it need to align. I can't make someone look really good by doing good politics or whatever
mm-hmm.
if at the end what I actually want is for the politics to be like
something different,
fixed right. or something different. Sure. Yeah. So yeah, it's like kind of that yeah. stuff, if that makes
sense. Yeah. I feel like people don't kind of realize that writing long form is such a mind fuck.
Yeah.
Like, even me, I don't fully grasp it either. But I'm just, like, speak, like, that kind of thing. It's like, you have to be able to let the audience know.
Yeah.
Specifically in this situation, what's wrong. And so on.
Yeah.
So that by the end, it's not like, you know, a random, completely unrelated plot twist.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, obviously, I'm trying to say that it's...
No, I do know what you mean. I do know, and I mean, it's difficult to explain without being able
like,
to tell
if
you.
But... if you laid out, like, a long-form narrative
yeah.
into, like, a measuring tape...
Yeah.
Trying to, like, picture it all as one single-direction flowing narrative...
Yes.
While also... viewing it as a whole, like 4D, like
yeah,
as like a sphere instead of a circle kind of thing. Does that make sense?
No, it really does, and it's definitely,
you have to have like galaxy brain.
There's, I mean, I've got a lot,
especially
of notes.
Especially for a novel like you've written, which based on what I know about it, it's like a lot of political intrigue and
yeah, I think of... I mean, I think the thing that was kind of lucky for me is that I almost think of, even though they're separate books. For me, I go, this is one, it's one story, you know, like mm-hmm. they're not even, it's not necessarily different things that are happening each book. It's not a story that follows on from the first one. This is one single story that I'm telling. It just happens to be over three books,
sure.
you know? So I think knowing that and then knowing how it begins, how it ends, everything that happens in the middle has made it much easier for me to figure out how to manage all of the I think that if I just started with this book and then later on someone had been like, oh, do you want to write a sequel, I would have like really struggled with trying to figure out
mm-hmm.
how to do that.
Yeah,
whereas yes, because this is like a full planned out story.
Yeah. Is that because you had more that you wanted to explore that didn't kind of fit either narratively or just like character-wise in one book?
Yeah, it was honestly, it was because I was like, the story's just too big to be told in one book.
Yeah.
The romance is too big to be told in one book. The characterizations and the complexity of like what they're going through and how I want them to start and end is just too big to fit in 100,000 words.
Yeah.
So that's why I was like, well, I don't have to. I can spread it out. Mm. So, yeah.
Interesting.
Particularly because there is like, there's three kind of levels of politics going on and there's like two different wars happening simultaneously. So it's like,
mm-hmm.
it's like a lot.
Yeah.
Even just plot wise. So. Yeah, anyway.
Interesting.
Yeah. It's exciting.
I don't know how much I can ask, like, publicly. Is it all from one character's perspective?
No, it's two. It's from the main male lead and the main female lead.
Slay.
Yeah. Yep.
I don't know if you want this out there, but I've already known. You told me that there's only one sex scene.
Yeah.
When you told me this, I was shook.
Well, I mean, okay.
Mostly because when you were early on in the, like, yeah. Planning process, you were pretty set on it being romance-y.
Yeah, well, I think...
And it still is. It's
no,
just
it
slow
definitely,
burning, right?
Yeah, it's I think the more that I wrote it, because this is not a secret because we find out in the prologue. So the main female character is Francesca. And then the main female lead is Poseidon, who's the god of deep
seas.
The main male lead. Sorry.
Come on, gender norms.
I know, God. And so what? So the big issue that I found in the chapter 1, 2, and 3 was I was like, it does not make sense for them to be seeing each other right now. Like, narratively, how I set it up and like the forbidden aspect of it, why would they be seeing each other again so early, you know? And so because of that, I was like, I think I need to push it all back. Like, I want this to be, I want the connection between them to be really deep and meaningful before it gets to the romance. So because of that, I was like, it just needs to be spread out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think kind of an interesting thing about romance in media is that in books you have so much more space to tell that story, but specifically to develop that relationship and make it really, really, you know, specific and personal and all that stuff.
Yeah.
In a way that, like, in movies and stuff, you can't really do.
No, definitely not. You can in TV shows, I think, but in movies it's very difficult.
Yeah, and you don't really... I can't think of a single movie that has a slow burn romance that actually is good.
That's really fair. That's really fair.
Like, genuinely not one. And when I say slow burn, I just mean they get together in the third act or the final few scenes, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I there's just not enough there to develop.
No, there's not enough time, yeah.
And half the time when TV shows do slow burn relationships, it's by accident.
That's so true. That's so true. It has been very interesting kind of going into it, knowing in advance.
Yeah, yeah, and in books you get... It's really kind of the only media where you can make the reader, like the audience, kind of be like in on that kind of personal connection.
Yeah, no, for sure, because you get like the internal monologue, right? Which you obviously can't get in any other form. It has been interesting. Thoroughly enjoyable.
You don't really specifically like slow burn to read yourself, do you?
I actually do, but I don't like it if it's like 300,000 words and then they get together in the last chapter. Right. It's like, that's too much for me. But I will like a slow burn if it's like 300,000 words and they get together at the 200,000 word point, because then it's, at least I'm still getting some payoff for all of the suffering.
Yeah.
Which is what this is going to be. Spoiler. So, like... It's going to be a slow burn, but it's not going to be, like, in the last page of the third book that they get together.
Yes. So, I follow.
Yeah.
That's, like, the series there. Captive Prince.
Yeah.
Prince's Gambit, King's Rising. It's a similar kind of slow burn-y.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they get together or kind of start getting together in the second book.
Yes. Yeah.
And then by the third book, it's slay. Their house down boots mama.
Fair.
You know?
That's pretty much going to be the vibe. Yeah.
I've got a question.
Okay.
About the world building.
Yes, go for it.
Are we talking like ancient Greek lubricant being like oils?
No, it's actually said in modern times. So I know.
I heard Poseidon and immediately assumed it was ancient-y.
That's really fair. And the other thing is like Francesca, the island that she's a fictional island that I've made up off the coast of Greece, but they're still a monarchy. So it definitely gives old vibes, but it's not.
It's giving Princess Mia Thermopolis of Genova.
That was literally, I was like...
Genova.
I can't remember.
Genova, I think it's Genova.
Before I started writing this, I was like, what am I going to do here? Because I don't want to use an established monarchy because I'm going to make a thorough indictment of monarchies in general.
Sure.
So I don't want to use any real people, obviously, and I don't want to replace any real existing families or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, well, wait a second. If Marvel can make up random fake countries and cities, why the fuck can't I? So that was, that's why I did that. Yeah.
Marvel, Princess Diary is not part of the MCU.
No, I know. I know. But if you think of, like, Wakanda and, like, they did that random city for Winter Soldier.
Uh-huh.
Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
So that was, yeah.
Interesting. Well, clearly the point's coming across if I could guess Mia Thermopoulos of Genovia.
Yeah, that's really true.
Genova. Fuck. Genovia? Oh, that's going to annoy me so bad.
Should we Google it? I think it's Genovia.
Okay, let's find out. Princess Diaries. It's Genovia.
Love that.
Slay.
Slay.
Interesting.
Yeah. It's a vibe.
How many words do you say it is?
Currently, it is about 92,000, but it will end up being about 100,000, I think.
I feel like that's the perfect length.
I agree. Personally. I think so, too. Like, I mean, it probably sounds like a lot to anybody who doesn't read, like, fan fiction.
I mean...
But it's really quite standard for basically any genre.
Didn't we establish it's more than standard?
Well, no, it is industry standard, but I know that, like, The Fault in Our Stars, which we were talking about the other day, is only, like, 65,000, which is, yes, it's technically below industry standard. And honestly, kind of impressive that he was able to tell such a fleshed-out story in that amount of words.
True. Okay, wait. The Deathly Hallows.
I think that's about 180.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's, like, thick.
Yeah, it's thick. The Order of the Phoenix, which is the biggest one, that's 250, is my understanding. And Philosopher's Stone is, like, I thought 70 or 80.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That's got me wondering what the, like, Heroes of Olympus are versus Percy Jackson.
Well, see, the thing is, though, that the Heroes of Olympus text is much larger. Mm. It's printed bigger. So I would probably hazard a guess and say they're actually quite similar lengths. They just seem bigger.
Interesting.
Yeah. Maybe more, but not much, I wouldn't be thinking. Anyway.
What were your inspirations?
We don't want to move on to you?
I mean, we do, but I want to know what, like, media, like, movies, shows, not inspirations, but, like, for the vibes.
Okay, well, definitely the political stuff, Game of Thronesy.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of, like, mythology stuff, I feel like definitely so heavily inspired by Percy Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like that.
I guess. It's set in modern times, it is still politics-y.
Mm.
Would you... I mean, you've not watched a lot of things, so I can't really say. If you would, like, say, like, succession-y, politics-y, where it's, like, lots of conniving people.
Yeah, definitely. So, I mean, again...
And, like, cutthroat.
Yeah, yeah. And this is not necessarily a spoiler because, again, it's established very early in the first book. But so Francesca is, like, she's a political prisoner in the royal palace and is being forced to marry the prince because, like, she has...
You don't need to explain.
Well, she has a lot of power, basically.
Okay.
So that's why that's kind of happening. And so then it's kind of, like, very much the queen and the king.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know, kind of trying to hold on to power, really, mm-hmm. is what it is. Yeah, I suppose.
Is there, like, a sense of desperation? Or is it more?
Well, not necessarily. That's kind of more backstory, is what it was. And then by the time the book starts, it's much more like they've already kind of done the terrible things to get, like, more stabilized, you mm-hmm. know, but... Francesca has been a prisoner for 2 years when the book starts, so it's kind of about her trying to, like, get out, really.
Interesting.
Yeah.
We don't have to leave this in, but do you have, like, an idea of the title?
I actually think it's going to be called By the Light of the Sea, I think.
Slay.
Yeah, I think.
It's nice and dramatic.
Yeah, I know, right?
Do you have, like... A series title?
No, I don't.
Like, you know, a Game of Thrones or a Song of Ice and Fire? And
no,
all
I
that
don't.
Stuff.
I really don't. Yeah, no, I don't. Honestly, getting to that point with that title was, like, difficult. I'm so bad with titles personally. So, yeah.
Fair.
Yeah.
Fair.
Mm.
Slay.
Slay. Anyway, I could talk about this for like 3 hours, so probably that's we should move on to you.
The thing is, I just like having conversations and like listening to people talk about things they're passionate about.
That's fair.
It literally doesn't really matter to me what the topic is. Unless it's like car parts or something.
That's fair.
But even then, I'd probably still be interested.
Yeah.
But like they can tell me like literally a 3 hour spiel about a book series I've never read.
Yeah.
And I'll be down for that.
That's so fair. That's so fair. I have a friend, and I won't name any names. Why not? But it's not you. I do mean that genuinely. It's not you.
What other friends do you have?
I have like 3 other friends, okay?
Wow. So,
I know, it's like I can count them all on one hand. That's a lot. no, and she had a partner, and I remember her saying to me really early on, she's like, oh, he has this really specific interest in this really nerdy thing. She mm-hmm. was like, and it just fucking bores me to tears every time he talks about it, even though he loves it and is so excited about it. I just can't stand listening to it. And I'm like, that's a red flag.
Yeah. Personally, I can't relate to that.
No, me either. Me either.
But, like, I mean, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
I feel like that's only a red flag if they, like, let it continue. Because if you continue to be bored by the person you're with, you're going to start to resent them.
Right.
And then once you start resenting them, there's not really any...
Yeah, and then
I
feel like it becomes, yeah, I don't know.
Does that make sense?
Weird. I know I do. It does make sense, yeah.
Sorry to, like, roast your friend.
No.
Who's not me.
Did that story sound like you, Nicholas?
It sounded exactly like me.
Even after you directly said, I'm happy to listen to anyone talk about their passions.
Look, I'm multifaceted. I'm full of multitudes.
So fair. An unknowable entity.
Precisely.
Wow.
Now, I have a few things that could be...
Wow.
What the fuck are the weeks?
Okay.
But I have one that's kind of just a blanket, like, it's not a blanket statement. A statement.
Uh-huh.
And then, no, I'm not going to do that. It's still too dark. I'll tell you what it is later. Okay. I've had it for weeks, and I'm like, oh.
Tell me now, and then we can cut it if it's too dark.
No, it's not too dark. It's just, like, the conversation's going to be dull. Like, we've had, like, 3 years of a global pandemic, and everyone's just kind of forgotten. Like, yeah. We went through... collective trauma.
We did.
Like, we went through some shit together, we as a society.
We did.
And we're all just like, tweedle-deedle-dee. That didn't happen.
I think it's because we've had so
like, no one talks about it, is what I'm saying.
No,
it's like
no one talks about it.
Really taboo to now be like, remember when we were in
lockdown
for a full 18 months?
It's really true. It was very interesting because directly after, so about a year ago when I went overseas for the first time since then, I went to Vanuatu.
Right. That was last year.
That was last year. Yeah, it was about a year ago. When that happened, that was like the first time people had only just started kind of traveling internationally again. And
Australians.
Yeah, that's true. And particularly Vanuatu, for example, where I went, that island had only opened up to tourists like 2 weeks before I went. So and that was really interesting because everyone that I met there, it was almost like a common thing, like a common like something that held us all together, and we all had our COVID story and what happened to us during the time. Whereas now it's like we don't talk about the dark
days. Now that whether we like it or not, everything's back to quote-unquote normal. Now it's like, hey, don't dampen the mood by talking about that thing that happened.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, but it's not like it's an individual trauma. This literally happened to everyone. And, like, it sounds dramatic, but I do think it is a collective trauma kind of thing. Like, we all went through it. And you know what else is interesting? We, as a globe, should have all become kind of, you know, a bit more... not closer. I'm trying to think of the right word.
Like, understanding? Empathetic?
Yeah, empathetic, understanding, open.
Yeah.
By literally every single person in the entire globe going through COVID.
Yeah.
Going through a global pandemic, which hasn't happened for 100 years like this.
If you want my psychoanalysis of the situation...
I'm like, shouldn't we have... But we did the opposite, now everything's
well,
worse.
I think it's because it actually was so... divisive, right? Because you had half the people being like, we need to get vaccinated, we need to lock down, we need to stay away, we need to protect our
yeah
week
totally
whereas the other half of people like, this isn't even real. COVID isn't even, doesn't even exist. We can't take vaccines. And I think it was just one, I think it just happened at this time of such political, like, unrest where it just, like, furthered the gap between people's understanding.
Absolutely.
So.
And you're correct. But if anything was going to pull everyone's heads out of their asses, it should have been a global pandemic.
It would be a collective trauma.
To teach everyone empathy and to... so that everyone would, like, you know, do what's best for the collective. Do what's literally saving lives.
One of the other novels
but
that
instead
I
people were like, nah, fuck
write.
Them lives. I don't want to get vaccinated. I was like, ma'am, you're not a fucking scientist. Anyway...
One of the other novels I started to write but never finished but might go back to eventually was like set in the future,
mm-hmm.
kind of post-apocalyptic kind of. It was a sci-fi one mm-hmm. where it was set in space as sci-fi books are. And how they'd gotten to that point was like the Earth had died from climate change, but the reason why they all ended up in space was because they did all turn on, like, everyone turned on each other. Instead of everyone coming together, they turned on each other, and then it was like the out of space agency came in and kind of saved everyone, blah blah blah. But I feel post COVID that that's so accurate.
Yeah, I was gonna say that's not science fiction, that's non-fiction.
Yeah,
now.
exactly. It's like I don't feel like I had the wrong take on everyone being faced with this, like,
yeah,
world destroying event and still not being able to come together. So, yeah.
Cute, fun, fresh. When you were a kid, did you have problems kind of processing the difference between words like possible and impossible? And
did we talk about this like 5 weeks ago?
No.
Okay.
We didn't.
Okay.
Did you not?
No. Well, I don't really feel like I understand what you're saying.
Like, words like, what did we just say? We sort of said something.
You just said possible and impossible.
Yeah, before that we said something. Fiction and non-fiction.
Oh.
Stuff like that.
I mean, yes, specifically fiction and non-fiction, I absolutely always struggle to, like, assign the right meaning to each of them.
Yeah, that's, or, yeah. Like, I knew each one or meant, like, the thing.
Yeah.
But I didn't know which one went to which.
That's fair. It was just really interesting because there's only two options and your brain still can't. My right and lefts, I still can't do my right and lefts because I just, like, I always need to be like, okay, this is my left.
That's insane.
No, I know. It is insane. I'm fucking 25 years old and I can't remember. There's two options. What the fuck?
I remember when I was 7.
Yeah.
I wanted a SpongeBob birthday cake.
Iconic.
So, like, a cake in the shape of SpongeBob. Not with, like, fondant and shit. That didn't really exist back when I was 7.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't, like, the normal thing to get for birthdays and stuff.
Yeah.
So it would have been, like, buttercream and stuff. So my mum and I went to a bakery.
Yeah.
And we were like, hey, would this be possible for you to do? Or do we, like, have to go and do it ourselves? Like, just, like, a... you know, rectangle and just kind of generally buttercream it to look like SpongeBob.
Yeah.
Cute, fun, fresh.
At 7 years old, were you aware of the difference between fondant and buttercream?
I'm saying it wasn't, fondant and stuff wasn't really an option. Yeah. But the bakery lady, she said, is this going to be possible or impossible? And I, with all of my heart, soul and fibers said, it is gonna be so impossible. Meaning it's gonna be easy.
Yeah.
But obviously not. And anyway, she laughed at me and then we left.
And did you get the cake?
No, we made it ourselves.
Oh. Was that a formative experience for you?
Well, I haven't forgotten it.
Was her laughing at you and your mistake a formative experience, do you think? Do you think that? Okay.
Yes. Bakery lady fucked me up.
That's fair. I understand that. I have a similar story if you want to. That also fucked me up.
I do want to hear this.
Okay. When I was younger.
If anyone offers to tell me something that fucked them up,
yeah,
I'm going to want to hear it.
No, mine is like equally like Why did you internalize that?
Yeah, no, it doesn't have to be reasonably. Yeah,
no, it's not. Funnily enough, also this happened
at a bakery.
Vanuatu, I was going to say. That's actually not that important.
What, so this is recent?
No, not recent. This is when I was a child.
You went to Vanuatu as a child?
Yeah, I did. Okay, with my family. It was my dad's birthday.
Slay.
And I remember we were at like a hotel, and I don't even know how this all got organized, but we were, Mackenzie and I were going to walk down with the staff to give Dad his cake.
Right. Mackenzie, your brother.
Yeah, Mackenzie, my brother, sorry. And the staff were like, okay, we're ready, let's do it. And they were like, you've got to sing really loud so they can hear you coming. I was like, okay, cool. And so I did.
And no one else did?
Not only did no one else do it, but the staff, the candles blew out at the top of the stairs. And so the staff weren't following. It was just me walking down the staircase, singing really loudly. And everyone like, what the fuck? Anyway, I burst into tears and then cried for like 3 days afterwards.
So iconic of you to steal the thunder at your dad's birthday. It's giving
God.
In the Goblet of Fire movie when Hermione's yeah. walking down the stairs at the Yule Ball.
Literally.
But if Hermione was deranged and like 7. Right?
Yeah, you're right. Oh my God, that's so funny. But yeah, that's
see, you stay screaming, so in my head I'm imagining you like yeah. aggressively.
Yeah, no!
Not like singing it.
That's how I remember it, but I don't know if that's right. actually true.
Right. Yeah, it's stuff like that. When I was like, I must have been 5.
Yeah.
So, like, just before grade 1.
Yeah.
I remember going, me and my mum went to pick up my sister from school. And I was just, like, spinning around like a little Disney princess.
Yeah.
And then I was like, I want to give mum a hug.
Bless.
So I hugged her. Mm. And then I looked up and it was a strange random lady. And that fucked me up. That's something that's literally happened to every child ever.
Yeah.
And it still fucked me up and I still think about it and I can still imagine everything. Like, very, very vividly.
The other day.
It's like that's so Raven vision. You know? So and then funny. I think about accidentally hugging a stranger.
The other day we went
and she laughed.
Bless.
Like, lightheartedly. Maybe that's what's something I don't like it when people laugh
at me. I don't like it. As a kid, I fucking hated when people laughed at me. Oh my God, it pissed me off so much because I was like, look, I understand that I've done something silly and wrong because I don't know what I'm doing, but like, explain it to me. Don't laugh at me.
Exactly.
I don't know. That's definitely something I've internalized. I feel like absolutely plays into my need to please people.
Love that for us.
Yeah. Wow. Slay. I'm glad we got so deep into that.
And
I feel lighter as a person.
You didn't give me an answer. What's the popular lubricant in your book?
Oh.
It's water-based.
Well, I haven't really gotten to
silicon.
The point where I need to work that out yet, so. I mean, water-based, God of the Sea. Makes sense, period. Right? Yeah.
I'm scared of using coconut oil, like people use like coconut oil as lube and stuff.
Really?
Yeah, because my psychologist was telling me a story about her like granddad or something had like a missing tooth and it would hurt often, and he would rub coconut oil on it kind of every day to hurt, because to like lube it up and to make it not hurt and stuff.
Right.
And then over like 6 months it put a hole in his cheek, like the coconut oil, like, you know?
No, I don't know.
It's like that. It's like aggressive enough that it like ate away at his skin and put like a hole in his cheek.
That's horrifying.
And I'm like, imagine that happening to your genitalia.
Yeah, I would be genuinely not only hesitant, I think I would outright refuse to do anything, to use anything that's not purpose made down there. So yeah. Coconut oil's out. Yeah,
no, you don't want your vagina smelling like Lamingtons.
No, you absolutely don't. And to be honest, you shouldn't, because it would mess with your pH balance. Like, even like douching and stuff is not actually recommended because...
In the vagina?
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry. Specifically.
There's like a big thing on The Real Housewives of Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
In one of the early seasons, they have a conversation about using like icing sugar or like maple syrup when a guy is eating them out.
Interesting.
So would that be bad for you?
Technically, like if it stays down there long enough and like, yeah. But again, it depends, because I think you can buy purpose made
flavored lubes and stuff.
Yeah. Well, not just flavored lubes, but you can buy like specifically like chocolate and stuff that's for sex purposes, can't you? To be melted on you? I don't know. Is that not true?
Yeah, but that's not in you.
No, I understand, but like...
Do you understand?
Well, but I just mean, I feel like that would probably be like safer to use down there than like just straight maple syrup from the cupboard.
Phaedra Park says that if you put icing sugar on your coochie coo, it like mixes with your natural juices and is really sweet.
Yeah, I'm sure it would be very sweet, but I personally would be not doing that. I think it's just such a delicate balance. So why would you... I mean, look, TMI, but I've gotten imbalanced pH just from using condoms. So, like, you know.
Okay, bareback queen.
I'm just saying, like, you know, that's purpose made and it can still fuck with you, so.
Literally.
Yeah,
it quite. Can fuck with you.
You're right. Wow. Yeah, the pun was unintentional, but still there.
Slay. I feel like we need to talk about... The elephant in the room this week is that we, sometime in 2015, 2016, someone killed a butterfly and it started a butterfly effect that put us in the darkest timeline.
Yes. I would personally say that was about 2015 because 2016 was a very dark year.
It was. Because that's when we met.
Of course. oh my God. Was it us? What? Us meeting is what? You know what?
That's why the universe punishes us so much. The darkest timeline, of course, all led to this week in which many things happened at once.
Yeah, a lot of everything random everywhere. Things happened all at once.
Number one.
The submarine.
Ocean Gate.
Yeah.
I don't really have much to say on it.
No, I don't think it's really necessarily something that a public opinion should be made on.
Well, I think we could need to tell billionaires to have some tact, like some forethought.
Definitely, they should have a higher self-preservation instinct, for sure.
Mm.
Actually, no, I shouldn't say that publicly.
The only other thing I have to say is that it's tragic and all that stuff, but the fact that it came pre-titled as Ocean Gate.
Yeah.
To go along with every other gate scandal in history.
It's so true. They were just asking for it. I shouldn't say that either.
It's not you being in your straight man era.
I know, literally. I was halfway through that. I was like, ooh.
So we started. Well, actually, that took up like 4 days of the week was Ocean Gate. That kind of dominated the culture.
Well, and then we were immediately thrust into...
Not thrust.
Was thrust into a whole new...
Which one?
Russia. A whole Russia. New thing, which made us forget Submarine Gate immediately.
Yeah, so there was almost a coup in Russia.
There was.
The private military, neo-Nazi, are they worse than Putin? Who knows? Full-on Russian... They were Russian into Russia. They were going to try and overthrow the nation.
Yeah.
That immediately stopped after, like, 24 hours, so that it went did. Nowhere.
Yeah, it did. It was a bit of a but, weird
But, like, weird
time.
Plot to it. Like, weird...
No, it was weird.
Diversion.
It was weird. It absolutely was, like...
And the weirdest part is that it just ended because they, like, hugged it out or whatever.
Honestly, I totally think that... I mean, I feel like probably the first thing of the Wagner Group being like, we're going to try and overtake Putin. I think that's probably true.
Mm.
But I think everything that happens subsequently is probably so... I reckon there'll just be so much propaganda around it that we just don't actually know what happened. And I would probably say that we won't ever know what actually happened in that situation. So.
I mean, I think we will find out because in what world do we live in that... Someone does something like that to Putin and he doesn't. Yeah?
Yeah, I mean, yes, I do. I understand, but I honestly don't think it will be like a publicly announced situation.
Sure.
You know, like I think it'll be one of those things where it's like, oh, this information will be declassified in 50 years kind of stuff, you know?
I do know. So. Anyway, more random shit that happened this week is...
Zuckerberg and...
Elon Musk.
Decided they were going to cage fight.
Yeah.
Perfect.
You want to know why? Because Zuckerberg posted a thirst trap.
That's so fucking funny.
He posted a photo of himself at the gym with, like, straining arms or whatever, like, horrifying, trying to look hot, which is impossible because his face doesn't move because it's what? A mask concealing a lizard. What? It's not a conspiracy. It's the truth.
This is a fact.
It's a fact. And then, I don't know, someone on Twitter said something, and Elon, having no life, being on there 24/7, looking at fucking everything, was like, I could beat him in a fight. And then it spiraled, and suddenly Andrew Tate is offering to train Elon Musk.
Isn't he been arrested?
He's fully been charged.
And he's still not in jail, or he just still has access to his phone?
Him and his brother were already on house arrest.
So they can't leave. Right.
So they still have access to their phones and computers and all that shit. But, yeah.
Horrifying.
I don't really have much to say about this, except that I hope no one watches.
I kind of want to watch, because I want to see them.
No, I mean, like, the actual paid event.
Oh, fair.
Like, that's the pay-per-view wrestling match, whatever it is.
Oh, yeah, no. I hope everyone just watches the clips on Twitter. Yeah.
Because nothing would make me happier than them comparing dicks in this way.
And then
just getting nothing from it.
I would agree with that.
You know?
What do you think would happen? Like, once someone wins that fight?
Nothing.
Like, what happens to their relationship? Because I feel like those two men must be extremely ego-based. I mean, I don't know if they're friends now.
Yeah, I genuinely think what will happen if one loses over the other.
When one loses,
is that they'll retaliate by implementing some
sexy,
really, like, fucked up guidelines on their social media, or, you know, no homosexuals allowed, all trans people should die. I think Elon would go on a rampage to, like, distract.
Oh. Do you know? I thought you were going to say something like to ban the other person from being on their social media, and I was like, yeah, that's funny. And
I don't think their relationship is good. Real-world
consequences?
Elon Musk tried to block any links to Facebook or any other social media site when he first got the platform.
That's so fucking funny.
I don't know. I think if Elon loses, his ego will be so bruised that he will cause some real-life damage by influencing his little minions.
Oh, I wish I hadn't asked now. I don't want real-world consequences. I want little itty-bitty reality TV consequences.
That's really fair. Yeah. Some other things that happened that's kind of wild is Paramount Studios.
Yeah.
It's come out this week that if they don't sell the entire thing and all their IP, they're going to go under.
What?
And it's like Paramount is genuinely one of the first major Hollywood studios and, like, has been an institution for 100 years. And now, because of streaming services and stuff, it's kaput.
What the fuck? So they got to do a 20th Century Fox, basically. Mm-hmm. Is that the... Wow.
Yeah, and it's...
Wow. Holy shit.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Has there been any rumors about who's going to buy them?
Allegedly, Netflix.
Really?
Mm. For the IP.
I don't care to Netflix if they have the money.
And imagine having to watch Transformers movies on Netflix instead of going to the movies. I feel like at the cinema...
Oh, you mean new ones?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like... I'm just using Transformers as an example.
Yeah, it's a pretty famous example.
I'm talking
like
an action movie.
Yeah.
Never allowed to see an action movie in cinemas again because of Netflix.
That would be pretty wild.
Down with Netflix.
Down with Netflix. Wow. I'm like a little shocked. I'm gooped and gagged.
Warner Brothers is selling like half of their, the rights to half of their music library.
Their music library? I didn't know they had a music library.
Yeah, because Warner Music is a major label. Warner Music is a major label plus, like, it's called, like, Warner Water Tower or something that owns the rights to all of the soundtracks from the past 100 years.
What the fuck?
All this stuff.
Wild.
The Directors Guild of America, they betrayed all of the writers and actors and signed a deal with all the studios to not strike.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like, it's a mess, mama.
Well.
So Hollywood's a mess. Music industry's a mess because at a concert just this week, Bebe Rexha was performing a concert.
Oh my god, I saw this!
And at the end of her show, a fan in the middle of a number threw his phone at her.
Yes.
And hit her in the face.
Yes. And she had to get stitches.
She had to get stitches. If it had been like 2 centimeters kind of lower, she could have lost an eye.
Yeah. And did you see afterwards he was like, I did it on purpose. I thought it would be funny. It's like,
and then he was arrested and charged. And the reason he did it is because he thought it would be funny. And he looks like, in like the photo of him out on social media, he actually looks like a sociopath.
Yeah. Well, that doesn't surprise me.
Like a clout chasing sociopath? I don't fucking know. But that man scares me.
Yeah.
Between that, someone threw flowers really aggressively at another artist and, like, nearly tripped them. And, like, I mean, here in Queensland, bottles are banned at all concerts because someone threw a bottle at Harry Styles back in...
Well, I remember that.
Yeah, back in, like...
Yeah.
When was the debut? 2017?
Wasn't it before that? I thought it was in the One Direction days.
Oh, maybe. I don't know. But, like... Can people not ruin everything for us?
I know, I know. People are actually so selfish sometimes. They and have like, absolutely no thought process for the greater good. And they're just like, oh my God, I would enjoy doing this in the moment. And then their brain stops there.
Yeah, but it's like literally... Performers should feel safe. And also, more importantly, you're going to get rid of concerts altogether.
It's so true.
If performers aren't safe, then they're not going to do concerts and we're not going to get to see anyone. It's going to be because of people like the fuckwad, who threw a phone at Bebe Rexha.
Yeah.
It is crazy. And then the other thing in the music industry is there's a reason I'm wearing the Rina Sawayama shirt.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because Glastonbury is happening in the UK at the moment, which is their biggest music festival.
Mm.
And just before she performed her song, Shut the Fuck Up, STFU, she made a statement about Matty Healy.
Iconic.
Did you used to do this?
No. The only thing I've heard about Glastonbury is about Lord getting on there late.
That was Lana.
About Lana getting on late.
Do not take thy Lord's name in vain.
Sorry.
It was Lana Del Rey who was late to the stage and having...
Sorry.
She got escorted out of the venue.
Did she?
By security because she was late. And hit the curfew of midnight and didn't get to perform the last 15 minutes of her show.
That's the only thing that I heard was about that.
Lord would never.
Wouldn't she?
No. She's respectful. And I'm about to get fucking... Watch it, bitch.
Yeah. Anyway,
Rina Sawayama, before she performed her song, Shut the Fuck Up, STFU, at Glastonbury, said... I wrote this because I was sick and tired of these microaggressions. This goes out to a white man that watches Ghetto Gaggers and mocks Asian people on a podcast.
Iconic.
He also owns my masters. I've had enough. Now, this is obviously Matt Healy because he was on a podcast joking and laughing about being into racist porn and making fun of Asian people and making fun of specifically Ice Spice in a very racial way. And he also owns, I think, like a majority share or something. Him and his band own like a majority share of, I think it's Dirty Hit is the label.
Ah.
And they own...
Whack.
Yeah.
Wild.
So that's all in the music industry. Another thing that happened in the music industry this week is... What publication was it?
Well, something that happened here in Australia, well, I guess worldwide, was Taylor Swift announced her Eras Tour, international dates for the Eras Tour.
Yeah. Taylor, this goes out to you directly.
If you're not Taylor, stop listening.
Having shows in 2 states, in 2 cities that are very close to each other-ish, and expecting all of Australia and all of New Zealand, so 2 entire countries to travel... And spend thousands. To try and get into 5 shows overall.
Yeah.
Is insane.
It absolutely is unhinged. For context, for those of you who don't know geography, Australia is as big as the United States. We don't have anywhere near as many people, but like geographically, it is as big. So asking anybody who doesn't live in Sydney and Melbourne to travel thousands of kilometres to see. I mean, she's probably like, I don't really care who comes because
it's going to be sold out anyway.
It's going to be sold out, whether that's from people who live in
Sydney-siders or...
Yeah, or whether it's people from the rest of Australia or New Zealand. I'm sure it means very little to her. But for the rest of us, we are pissed off.
It fucking sucks. Tickets alone, for a good seat, are between $300 and $400.
Yes.
I don't think that's crazy. What's crazy is having to travel for that.
It's wild.
I don't know. I just, obviously artists don't owe anyone anything.
Yeah.
But I feel like it's a little disrespectful to the fan bases to like say, hey, I've got this major, major, biggest tour of my life, stadium tour of my life.
Yeah.
And dangle it in their faces and then only go to. It's, if you're in America, it's like her performing only in
LA and New York.
No, not even, because they're on opposite sides of the country.
Yeah, that's true. That's so true.
It's like her only performing in
Chicago and New York.
Not even that. I was gonna say like DC and New York, or
that's true, that's fair,
Miami and Florida or something.
Yeah,
Miami is Florida. You know what I meant.
I do know what you meant. Yeah.
I don't know if I did know what I meant. Anyway, it's dumb and stupid and...
Oh, it is.
I don't want to have to drive 10 hours.
Or, fly or whatever.
Or fly.
And by the way, Brisbane is actually, like, it's not close to Sydney at all. We're I think it's 1,000 kilometres away. Maybe less. Maybe 800.
No, it's 1,000.
But, like, that's nothing compared to, like, Perth and Darwin.
Yeah.
So I feel very, very bad for them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even Adelaide. Actually, Adelaide's probably pretty close to Melbourne compared to us to Sydney.
Wouldn't you do, like, a triangular, like, northeast, Sydney or Melbourne, probably Melbourne, and, like, Western Australia?
I think probably the thing is that, like, the MCG, for example, that holds 100,000 people in the grandstands and will hold more people because of all the floor tickets, right? And the same, I don't know the Accor Stadium, but, like, that's significantly more. Our biggest stadium here, Brisbane, at Suncorp, I think it only holds 80,000 people. So it's, like, significantly less capacity. Again, I don't know the details of, like, Darwin and Perth stadiums, but I would imagine they're even smaller than Brisbane's. Cool. So that's probably what it is.
I don't know. I just feel like if she needed to cut an hour off her 3+ hour set to be able to perform in, you know, and not get worn out, perform in more than those two states, or if she needed to, you know, get rid of some of the set, not have a giant house on stage.
Yeah. Well, see, I think for me the thing is I go, okay, 5 shows... is not actually unreasonable, in my opinion. I think that's pretty common. 5 to 7 shows is how many people do in Australia. But they spread it out, like, geographically. So, you know, Perth, Brisbane, whatever. Maybe they'll go to Darwin or whatever. They definitely usually go to at least 1 show in New Zealand. And so it's like, you're doing still a reasonable amount of shows, but that's a long way for people to go. You know?
I think it's the audacity that gets me because...
Yeah.
She's literally not going to New Zealand at all.
I know.
Which is an entire country.
Yeah.
Which means she is expecting her hardcore fans from New Zealand to fly to Sydney or Melbourne.
Well, to be honest, she's actually, I mean, it's not even just us, because obviously we're very focused on this because we're here in Australia. But sure. If you look at, like, the wider tour.
It's odd.
It is. There is not that many countries on it. Like, she's got, like, 7 shows in London, for example. Mm. Then there's only a handful of countries she's going to in Europe. Like, I think probably why we're all just so confused and, like, confronted about this is because she's done 50-something shows in the US, and then it's, like, 50 shows for literally the whole entire rest of the world.
Yeah.
It's a bit like the math ain't adding up.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's weird.
No, you're right. And it's weird that she would do, like, a Glendale concert and an LA concert. And, like,
yeah.
I don't know. It's, they're literally, like, the same.
That's like, yeah.
whatever. I don't know. It was dumb.
And I do also understand that the demand was so high in the US that people, so many people still didn't get tickets to go. So I understand that, like, people over there are also disappointed about not being able to go. I think it's kind of a bit like, kind of had equal opportunity to get tickets, though, outside of how expensive the pricing was. Mm. But it's like here, everywhere else in the world, it's a bit like how... It's like, it's not even a fair fight at this point, you know? Yeah. So
apparently yeah, our know. Pricing is, like, our base pricing is, like, not far off what the US price is inflated to.
Interesting.
For the
I
most
don't know
part.
If that's true, because, oh, I mean, I don't really know.
Actually, I do have another bone to pick with Taylor. Sorry to interrupt. Okay, yeah. It's that her packages, her, like,
they're wild.
Midnight, whatever, madness package, whatever. It's, like, an A reserve ticket, which is $389 or something.
Yeah.
But this package ticket costs, like, almost $1,500.
Yeah. And, like, nothing extra comes with it.
And it's just the A reserve ticket, which you can buy by itself for $389. Four postcards, a poster, and a special lanyard.
Not even signed, right?
Not signed. No meet and greet, no early access. And people are like, well, you know, it's expensive, so obviously it's for the first few rows.
It is. That's what they're allocated for. But
it didn't say that.
No, it doesn't say that.
It's why would you...
I mean, it's definitely
pay
a bit
$1,500 to gamble. If it doesn't say it on the terms and conditions on the page that you're buying it from, then I would just not assume the best of them.
I thought that on the map it was allocated, like, the first couple of rows are only for VIP packages.
Be, but all the information before they went live...
Yeah, that's fair.
...was just an A reserve ticket. That doesn't necessarily mean a front row ticket, and I... You've got to kind of assume the worst of people.
It is an obscene amount of money.
I don't know, it's like $800 for four postcards, a poster, and a lanyard.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I almost feel like it's $100 for some vague merch, and then it's $1,400 for a front row ticket, which even if, like...
Potentially.
I think it's, like, the first three or four rows is apparently what's allocated. But it's like, oh, well, I could have gotten the fifth row for $400, you know? It's a bit crazy. It's a bit crazy. I don't know.
It's wild.
It is wild.
Anyway, the other thing that I wanted to talk about just quickly was to do with Taylor as well. Not Taylor specifically, but Taylor's fans, the Swifties.
Right.
A journalist and pop culture reviewer for Insider. His name is Chris Pinella.
Mm-hmm.
In the same week did reviews of the Eras Tour and Beyonce's Renaissance Tour.
Interesting.
And because he did them both in one week, he generally compared them and said that they're both fucking incredible. If I had to pick one over the other, I would probably say Renaissance was a little bit better because the community and the visuals were a little...
Interesting.
A little better, a little more enjoyable.
Interesting.
But the Eras Tour was still perfect and unforgettable and insane. And the Swifties went crazy.
I'm not surprised.
Literally. Him and his family were doxxed.
Oh my god.
Like, Swifties leaked his address.
Oh wow.
His workplace, all his family's workplaces. The workplaces Jesus. Were getting calls saying, fire this person. They're about, you know, all this stuff.
Oh my god.
Forgiving... A glowing review.
Whack.
That's just slightly bad. And then not even that. They were using gay slurs.
What the fuck?
And they're sending death threats and stuff. On, like, a major, major scale. And I'll link the article below because it's really interesting. But, genuinely wild.
And
it got people online kind of talking about the fact that a lot of stans and a lot of, like, hardcore fandoms are significantly populated by, like, trolls, bad people, and, like, Republican-y conservatives.
Yeah.
Because the second that they can start calling a gay man... a faggot or whatever, to defend their idol.
Yeah.
They take it and they jump on it and it's fascinating. I don't know. I just think that if you're a fan of someone and you idolize them to the point that you would dox someone or even just send kill yourself messages.
Yeah.
You need to rethink your life and you need to rethink your behavior and yourself and your online activity. It's just wild. The Swifties, the Barbs, the K-pop stans. It's just unhinged. I don't know.
It is unhinged. I feel like a full dissertation needs to be done on
genuinely
the obsessive nature of fan culture and how far people go to defend people they don't even know or fictional characters or whatever. Mm. It's kind of a bit like, I don't know, man. I wonder where it comes from. Like, how did that start? How is it?
Well,
like,
I think
a
it's
thing
because
that...
it's a generation of kids that didn't, not just the younger generations. It's obviously more complicated with the older ones, but our generation never kind of learned or experienced that online actions can have actual consequences, and telling someone in their DMs to kill themselves is no different than saying it to their face. Does that make sense? They think that there's no weight to the things that they're saying because they're typing it or
because then it's not face to face.
And I think that's honestly, it's dehumanizing everything, and it's once you start to like dehumanize and it's too easy for them to kind of, especially if they've got something, especially if they're fighting for someone in their heads.
Yeah.
The idol, their artist that they love, whatever, you know, does that make sense?
Crazy.
And I just think, I'm a big fan of Taylor's music. But I don't think I want to be called a Swiftie because there's so many crazy toxic people in the fandom. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, for sure.
And like Taylor literally like 2 nights ago performed Dear John and had to make a statement before she sang it and was like, look, I'm putting out this album because I want to own it, not so that you can all go online and attack a man about something that might or might not have happened 14 years ago when I was young and 19 and I do not care about anymore. So do not go in and hate anyone that you might think maybe it possibly could be about.
Yeah, interesting.
And then of course online it was all, the conversation was, she said not to, but we're gonna, right?
Oh my god.
I was like,
That's so interesting that she even said that.
Well, I think because Jake Gyllenhaal got quite a lot of...
I was gonna say, do you think that's because of what happened when Red was re-released? Yeah. Interesting.
Oh, and also, of course, the Joe Alwyn breaking up.
Yeah.
You know, hate that he would have gotten and all that.
So true. Oh my god, people... Like, in the first 2 or 3 weeks, people were like, okay, we need to respect their privacy, whatever, and then the longer it's gone on, like, the more people have turned on him, and it's like, do we... all not remember collectively being like, this is none of our business.
I mean,
we don't know what's going on.
I see her stans and stuff on Twitter being like, I saw that someone posted, I think it was one of the like pop culture accounts tweeted like a photo of him with a fan or something saying he was out and about recently. And the comments were like, delete this. Don't you know he's like an abuser? Stuff like this. And it's like, this is completely unsubstantiated claims that are genuinely serious and like, you're basing off of assumptions and...
Well, literal assumptions, because no one ever has said... And the only information we have about the breakup, like I'm going to take this specific situation, is from inside sources.
Yeah, it's hearsay.
It's hearsay. It's like you don't... Not only has there never even been a single reference to any kind of abuse, but we do not know. We have rumors about potentially what may or may not have happened.
Yeah.
Like we don't even... Ugh.
Wild.
Wild.
Anyway, most importantly, how do you say that word?
Larynx? I think.
Larynx. Yeah, that's what I say.
Yeah.
Yes. Sorry, my brain can't handle the word. The word larynx, right?
Okay.
I heard in a press interview... Jennifer Lawrence talking about the scene in No Hard Feelings when she gets punched in the neck. She was talking about that scene. And she called it the larynx.
Ah, interesting.
And I was like, that doesn't sound right.
Americans pronounce
But she said it so confidently. Really weird. But then I Googled it.
Yeah.
And that is, it's pronounced larynx. Larynx.
Is it pronounced larynx in the US, though?
I think it's meant to be everywhere.
Well, see, that's what they say. But then the US people say things like niche when it's, when the rest of the world pronounces it niche. Or they say conch when it's a conch shell, you know? So it's like, why, you know, I think they just say weird things sometimes.
They also say...
Those two specific examples live rent-free in my head. That's why I had them off the top of my head like that.
The only one that annoys me is aluminium.
Mm.
They call it aluminum, and it's like, ma'am, you're skipping half the word.
Yeah, it's true.
Says an Australian.
Or the second half caramel, of the when they caramel. Say caramel. It's like, yeah. You've missed a letter. Are you actually, in fact, a whole... what's it called?
Syllable,
yeah.
Although I think in America, there's like caramel is different to caramel.
Yeah,
that makes sense. In a weird fucking way. Like, yeah. One's like the candy and one's like the sauce.
Yeah.
Idiots. So anyway, yeah, it turns out we've probably been saying larynx wrong.
I don't know.
Larynx. Well, it's spelled larynx.
Interesting. I'll ponder it further.
No, you don't. You're going to forget about it in 10 seconds.
It's true, I am. I've already forgotten how we were pronouncing it. Larynx.
Larynx.
Mm.
Larynx.
Yeah. Interesting.
Slay.
Slay. Okay. Cool.
I think that's most of the pop culture of the day.
Yeah.
I mean, we were
going to talk about the movie, but...
I've been watching True Blood.
Okay.
Because I watched this video about...
My God, I didn't watch that. I should watch that.
What?
The video.
What video?
The vampire video.
Yeah, that's the video I'm talking about.
I know.
I sent Maddie a video. It's a video I watched. It's a video essay. I'll link it below. About why so many vampires in books and movies are like... The vampire boyfriends are like Confederate soldiers and stuff.
Yeah.
It's like, why would you make them? Anyway.
Horrifying.
I started watching True Blood.
Mm-hmm.
Season 1 starts rough, but then it's good by the end. Season 2 of True Blood... is one of the best seasons of television I've ever seen in my life.
It's like the 100.
Literally, season 2 of the 100 is one of the best seasons of a show I've seen in my life. True Blood season 2 is so fucking good and so wild, and it's just really, really fucking good. And from what I've seen of season 3, it's also very good. But season 2 specifically just hits every little niche. Every little niche, every little spot, and every single character gets their little
their moment.
And literally, like, it's set in a small town called Bontemp, and there's like a whole big supporting characters kind of list, and literally every single one of them gets a moment. It's
love that
fantastic. Also, like, culty vibes, which I adore.
Yeah, there.
Witchy.
Love that.
Vampire-y.
They're vampires, aren't they? Yeah.
Well, some of them.
Was it related to Vampire Diaries? Or no, this is this whole own thing?
This is HBO.
Okay. Oh.
Yeah, there's a lot of sex.
HBO does make good TV. How many seasons are there?
5.
Well, that's not that many. I thought you were going to say 15 then.
No.
Okay.
Like 5 or 6, I think. But genuinely, see, it's, yeah, season 2 is insanely good. And, like...
Okay, all right. I'll add it to my list. Blew my mind. All right.
And, like, so masterfully kind of told.
Yeah.
As a season-long arc.
Mm.
It's not really a spoiler, but, like, the main... One of the main leads, or a couple of them, actually, go, like, out of state to investigate something.
Yeah.
And while they're gone... some major culty shit happens in their hometown and things kind of devolve into chaos.
Right.
And then they return and it's like... So, like, there's all this shit happening at the same time, but, it's all intriguing. It's mid-seasons of Game of Thrones, where every single side plot is...
Yeah. Wild.
Both vital and also...
Yeah.
Entertaining and engaging and all that stuff.
Okay.
Although kind of sexy.
Love that. Love that. Okay, interesting. I'm going to add it to the list of things to watch.
Yeah.
It's worth it. Well, all right. Shall we wrap? wrap up?
We shall
probably
wrap up.
We should. It's a bit late.
The elephant in the room this week is that I don't know how long this episode is.
I feel like we started 5 hours ago.
Well, the screen turned off.
Yeah.
So, potentially this is a long episode. Potentially I've cut it down. But the elephant in the room is that it's a surprise to all of us.
Well, I love that.
Maddie, where can people follow you? Your links are down below now.
Love that. Oh my God, how cute. At real underscore Maddie, M-A-D-D-I-E underscore M, just the letter M, on TikTok and Instagram.
Slay.
Yes.
If you want to follow the pod, you can at WTFIH podcast on Instagram and TikTok and YouTube. I'm really behind in the YouTube videos. I'm just not going to upload. Earlier this year, we did, like, a bunch of ones that kind of got split up into multiple recordings or multiple blocks of recording. So it was just, like, the effort to video edit was
fair
too big. And I just got overwhelmed and didn't know it. So I'll probably, starting with last week's episode, be uploading video versions again.
Love that.
But otherwise, it's good to be back and talking. Boom. I'm going to have a sore throat.
Wow.
I'm talking so much.
You should have some water.
But by the way, no hard feelings. I really, really enjoyed it.
Oh, yeah. It was very good.
It was very good.
Yes, it was.
A surprisingly sweet, like, raunchy sex comedy.
Yeah, it was.
Just like Mama used to make.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And I felt like they kind of, like, really... I was really worried about, like, the consent of it all, particularly because of the age difference and stuff. But I felt like they kind of, like, got close to the boundary, but then always pulled back before it went too far. So, yeah, it was fine.
Yeah.
It was, for, in case that's something that you're worried about, it's fine.
Yeah. And also, Jennifer Lawrence is really hot.
So true. She did a great job. Her tits looked amazing.
Yeah.
Not to be a straight man, but...
Also, the absolute iconicness of her to not have any nudity in any of, like, the kind of sexier scenes. The only time she does, like, full nudity in the movie is for comedic purpose.
It was so fucking
it's
funny.
It's so iconic. Like, it's the so for iconic. Context, it's the skinny dipping scene that's in the trailer.
Yes.
And, like, they literally go in the water. She walks in the water. You don't even see so much as a bum.
Yeah.
And then there's something that happens where she gets out naked, and it's for comedic effect, and it's very funny.
It was very, very funny.
There are some genuinely...
There were some genuinely very funny.
Very, very, like... Yeah. Laugh out loud, moments in this, which is, I hope it does well so that it, that and Joyride, which is coming out,
that did look
I need more comedies
unhinged.
In my life, please.
Yeah.
You still haven't seen Spy, have you?
No.
Melissa McCarthy, Spy, Rose Byrne, Jude Law.
No, I don't think
Jason Statham.
No. Maybe.
I think it's one of the best comedy movies of all time. And you would adore it.
Well, maybe I'll watch it tonight.
You should, but not with... parents, because there is a dick pic. It's obviously a fake penis, but, like, there's a dick pic.
Okay.
At one point.
All right. That's good to know. I'll watch it in bed.
That's just for general knowledge everyone should have. There's a dick pic in Spy.
Okay. All right. Goodbye.
Bye.
Thanks very much for listening to What the Fuck is Happening,
the podcast.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.